Dirt and Sprague.
Purdy from the shotgun on second and goal from the six. Snaps, looks, throws toward the goal line. Ball is bobbled just a bit, and it's picked off. He bobbled it into the hands of Drake Thomas. Thomas has it. It's intercepted by the Seahawks down inside the five-yard line.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
This will be a 44-yard attempt. It will come from the middle of the field. It's for the division. Loop is ready. Here's the snap, the spot. The kick is on the way. It is no good. He missed it. It's wide to the right. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have won the division. The Steelers are going to the playoffs.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, the Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
Happy January 5th to you and all that observe.
We survived the final week of the NFL season. Have we been fired?
No.
Okay, good. We're still here?
Well, for now.
They liked our performance this year. We did enough to keep our job going into next season, is what you're telling us?
I would call us a wild card team.
A wild card? You think we're a wild card?
Yeah.
Are we 9-8? Are we 10-7?
We might be on the road.
We're sneaking
we're
in.
A wild card team.
Okay. Yeah. We're the Chargers or the Packers is what I'm finding out here early on.
Hard to say you're a one seed, you know what I mean? That's not easy.
No. Not easy to be a one seed.
Maybe we get to top 12 of mid-major market sports radio
exactly.
morning shows, we can be a one seed.
Exactly.
I don't know about one seed. Maybe then we're winning our division. I don't know about one seed home field advantage throughout, but we'll get a home playoff game.
Oh, so you're saying we're a road wild card team.
Yes.
All the wild card teams
I would say that wasn't
teams.
A very good year, and we should be worried.
How many wild card teams or coaches are still in jeopardy? Probably a handful of them.
I would say at the minimum we're an NFC South divisional champ level team.
You're hosting
That's how
game.
Bad our competition is. Is that what you're telling me? Our competition is so bad we just win 8 games, we get in?
I'm just saying I think we've crossed a threshold of like you're the best of this group, but that group might not be stellar.
Okay, that's a pretty fair way
that's
to
all
put
I'm
it.
Saying.
I agree with that.
Now, will we win our home game? No, I mean, I don't feel great about it. We're 10-point underdogs.
It's not looking good.
But what do you want?
There
from
are
me?
Three road favorites.
I know.
On wild card league.
I know.
Juicy.
I've watched.
I was looked. Waiting all day yesterday for the lines to come out because we knew the matchups basically by like the end of the 10 a.m. slate. You kind of know outside is Pittsburgh going to win later. You know, could this team do a shocking thing? Could Denver shockingly lose to Trey Lance? Answer, no, that's not going to happen.
They toyed with it for a minute.
They did. The underbet is the only thing I hit all weekend, and thank God their offense is clunky, and Trey Lance still sucks. But we kind of knew, and I was waiting all day for the lines to come out. Once they came out, ooh, juicy.
I don't know what time it was exactly, because my Sunday was weird, because I had early basketball games.
I know. I had a 2 o'clock Pilots game.
Dude, by the
right
way,
in the middle of the day.
Side note, always a weird feeling to lose by 20 points in your final game of the tournament after losing by probably an average of 27.
Hey, progress. That's what we call that.
We had a couple. They
you
played
know,
good.
We're
they
a little more
better.
Feisty
they're growing.
Now.
They're not winning, but we're growing.
That's all it's about, learning life lessons.
It's a very odd thing
just
because
like Tinkles guys.
Oh. Dude, did you see they turned the replies off on a tweet?
They have to. They lose. They lost by 31 to Pacific.
Yeah, they turned the replies off. Beaver fans were quote tweeting it saying, Beaver fans, you can respond here to the quote tweet and let them know what you have to say about the
Can't
program.
Wait for the AD that gave that guy an 8-year extension to pick the next one.
That's still the highest paid AD in the new look Pac-12, baby.
Damn right it is.
Give him all of his money. He deserves every penny.
But an odd feeling in a final game of youth basketball. And you lose, and you're like, okay, and you do your good games. My team always says thanks to the refs. That's a rule on my team.
Yes.
Because we need people to volunteer, and
yes,
I appreciate
right.
it.
Right. Yes, we do.
And I always go over there and thank them, too, even if I disagree with one or two calls.
Right. But
and I say, thank you, and I say, thank you so much. And the guy goes, love the show. And I
was hey, like, oh, all right.
Don't talk about this. All don't right. talk about this result on air.
Don't bring this up. Don't bring this one up.
Odd feeling to lose by a lot and be like, yeah, I'm the guy who talks about sports. Can you tell how much I know?
give the official credit. If he did a good job, let's shout this guy out.
Him and they were a good one.
You were
crew.
Like, that wasn't worth a couple more foul calls.
I mean, hey. If you're look, do I entertain you Monday through Friday?
Help
Haven't you heard?
Out.
We won the NFC South as a show this year. We're hosting the Rams. You can't give me a whistle here.
We're the NFC South champs.
That's a travel right there. I was at my niece's game a couple weeks ago leading
Those
into
whistles
Christmas.
Don't seem like you like the show. Yeah.
No,
maybe
was
he's
totally
a big Duck
fine.
Fan. He's just a Sprague jackass. I don't like this guy. I was at my niece's game, and they were, I mean, very similar. I want to say they were down 42-0.
It's
and
tough.
It just,
it's
you know,
tough.
Yeah. Look out for the future varsity Ida B. Wells girls team. They're coming.
Oh, well, can I tell you? Can I tell you a dirty secret?
Sure. Tell me a dirty secret.
Now, the Ida B. Wells, I assume that's not your niece.
That's not my niece. No, so, they were leading 42-0.
It's always easy to see these jerseys and team names and think this. Our school is legitimately the Nelson High School pipeline. It's all middle school kids in our middle.
Sure.
Some of these other schools, quote unquote, I'm finding out are actually masqueraded club teams.
So they're not kids from more regions.
Well, that's not maybe the whole Ida B. Wells team.
Totally fair.
Two players who have like five others who have played in a club together.
Totally fair.
And Ida B. Wells as a youth program has said, let's make you guys our team. So
Okay. Yeah, I'm not buying my futures ticket yet. I'll return that ticket right now. But my favorite thing was the official in the game was a great dude. I ended up chatting with him because we were standing alongside the court.
Right.
And I had Teddy, and he wanted to talk about Teddy. But when we were down there, whenever my niece's team would be on that side of the floor, he was like imploring them to do things. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
The
like,
ref?
Like a girl was, it's like 48-0, and there's a girl wide open 8 feet from the hoop. He's like, shoot it. Shoot it.
I've been doing that a lot.
And I'm just like,
You're wide open.
Is he telling him? He's like, you know what? I don't blame him either because I do the same thing. You're down by 50. Put the ball up. What are we doing?
Yeah, do you care about an air ball at this point?
No, what are we holding on? Well, you're just going to toss it over the key. It's going to get intercepted. They're going to take it the other way for a layup. It's like, you're wide open. Shoot the ball.
Well, I don't remember what time it was, but I remember getting online and I went to Vegas Insider and I'm like, what are the lines? Because I don't think at that point the Raven game was finalized, and I think they wait for all the games to officially be done. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But
I think you're slightly wrong on that, but
I went to it, yeah. And I clicked 2025 wild card.
Sure.
So I scroll down, and I'm like, Washington, Tampa. What?
Huh?
Oh. And I started slowly realizing, they don't have the new lines up. This is last year.
Commies ain't here this year, buddy. Neither is Tampa.
Dude, we did, me and my brothers did a over-under on every team. And whoever gets the most over-unders, you know, we all put in $40, sure. They get the pool,
win
right?
Total over-unders, yeah.
How many over-unders from the preseason do you think I got right out of
from
32 teams?
32. I'd give you, 20. God, there's some total surprises in there.
Dude, there was a lot more surprises than you'd
because we would have taken the over probably on the Lions, on the Commies, on the like Chiefs. I'm going to go 14.
Yeah. You almost nailed it. I had 12.
12, yeah.
And I haven't looked at my brothers yet to calculate to see who won it, but 12 cannot be the winning number.
That's a fun little season-long bet right there.
It's
kind of fun. Like,
it was
take
a fun,
shot.
Different thing to do, yeah. And I'm like, you know what? We could do Survivor Pool, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But also, over-unders are a little trickier, and maybe like it's a little harder to win that one.
Yeah, that's not easy to do, man, because you have a feeling on a team. And you think back to the way we thought about so many throughout the NFL this year and all the disappointment, all the surprises. We had two teams do something that had only happened one time in the history of the league this year, and that was lose 13 games and then win 13 games the following season.
That's pretty crazy.
There was only one team that had ever done that in the history of the NFL, and this year you have both the Jags and the Patriots do it.
The NFC North, I nailed every single prediction. Packers under, Vikings under, Lions under, Bears over.
Yeah.
That goes to my Bears will win the division, and then I jumped off that train.
We'll get to our flip it or stick it picks today. Don't worry. Yeah. That's in the old notes for the back half of the
show. AFC North, I got entirely wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't get a single one of those right. The AFC South, I got 3 out of 4.
That's not bad.
AFC East, I lost all 4 of those.
Yeah.
I had no feel for that division.
Did the Bills hit the over or the under?
Under.
What was it, 11 and a half?
11 and a half.
Yeah, just missed it, but that was close.
Dolphins, 8.5, 1-8.
Yeah.
You know, Jets. AFC South, I think I did pretty well in. Jags, I nailed.
Yeah. They probably had a pretty low over-under coming into the year, I'd imagine.
The Colts, I believe, where is this?
They were the laughingstock of the league in August, so I can't imagine theirs was more than 4.5, 5.5.
Theirs was 7.5.
It was 7.5?
And they won 8.
Yeah, they got there. That's an over for the Colts, baby.
Titans under, Texans over, Jags over. I did pretty well in that division.
That's
but yeah,
bad.
For the most part, 12 out of 32, pretty bad.
That's a fun little bet we can do next year in August going into the year.
Because you just don't, I mean, you think you know,
idea.
And you don't know.
This is the beauty of the NFL. Is it every year, we think these teams will be great and these runs will last forever. I brought this up a couple weeks ago, but it reminds me of the Dan Campbell post game in the NFC title game where they lose the 20-point lead to the 49ers, and he says after the game, instead of the rah-rah, we'll be back, we can't wait, he said, this might be the only crack at it we ever get, man. And you look back and you're like, yeah, you might have been right there.
Do you guys think I know we'll get to a lot of the NFL today, and then we will get to some college football because the Ducks play on Friday.
Friday night game.
We have a game Thursday.
We do.
So we don't have many days here to preview and talk about the college football. We got news out of college football. The portal was portaling yesterday.
Very hard yesterday.
Are we already scared of Indiana next year? Because, my God, they have a furry and a stud receiver.
You know how I feel about furries, man. I'm intimidated.
Dude.
I don't think they're on Oregon's schedule, though, next year.
Him wearing cat ears and hoisting a Big Ten title would be hilarious.
If he wins the Heisman, he's got to go as a furry.
Does he get Cignetti to color his nose and be a cat for Halloween? Cignetti is a cat.
I'm already terrified of Cignetti.
I agree.
Cat Cignetti? Wow. Whole nother level. Wow. Whole nother level.
That's a pissed off black cat.
If he comes out in Atlanta on the sidelines wearing cat paint on his face, I'm just going to turn the game
off.
What
would we do if Cignetti came out with a tail? Would you be more encouraged or less encouraged?
Way less encouraged, dude. Yeah. If you're that level of psycho, you could do that in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta in front of 15 million people. I'm terrified.
I watched that entire Peach Bowl press conference, which it's always funny. They zoom these dudes in, and then they put that weird Peach Bowl background on that you can tell is fake.
Right.
And I thought there was some good stuff in there, and we'll get some of the audio. I couldn't stop staring at Cignetti. Even when Lanning was answering, I'm just staring at Cignetti. He's just like making these face reactions. I feel like he was taking notes on some of Lanning's answers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
that's what you feel about Dante Moore.
Dante, huh? All right. Okay, I got that.
He's doing that right now.
And I can't stop. This dude is like...
He's like a mythical creature at this point.
He really
with what
is.
He's done.
Like, he really is.
I know people made him bleed last year, but until somebody makes him bleed, it's just wild the way we look at that team and talk about that team, and he's the reason why.
People may have made him bleed, but he is the guy who's bleeding, and he gets up and he thumbs across his lip with the blood and he licks it off and he just stares at you and goes, I love that taste.
Now I'm more scared.
And now you're like, what?
Dude, I thought you were down by 15 points. What the hell happened there, man? You're wiping your blood. I'm running away.
I think it's not even close of all the coaches remaining. He's the one you least want to face.
Well, Ole Miss doesn't really have coaches, so yeah, that doesn't count.
They're actually going to have coaches.
Oh, they're allowing them to hang around again? Okay.
Golden came out and said, oh, they're going to be with us. Turns out they are going to be with us.
I love it that I read the story, too, that Ole Miss has to pay for all those PJs.
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah, this is fun.
Yep.
So that's cool. Mario's done a great job this year, and I've given him flowers, but I think, you know, there's moments in clock management that you're not quite terrified. You're terrified of his roster that he's built.
Sure.
You're not terrified of him as a head coach, whereas Cignetti has those mental powers that has you a little scared going into the game.
Yeah, people keep going, it's hard to beat a team twice, and I keep looking at him, and I'm like, I don't know where I'm at yet on the pick, but I just look at that guy and I go... You know, he might be an exception to that rule. Yeah. He's insane, and his team's really good.
Also, the last time people told my team that it's hard to beat a team twice, they lost the second time. So,
that's true.
And then when the roles were reversed and we won the first game, then when the second game happened, it didn't go our way either. So, second times around don't go well for
us. Great for Oregon
the last few
recent
years.
Recent history.
No, they're not.
Well, we got a lot to get to. Sunday Night Football was popping off last night.
That game was like the horse drawing where the back of the horse is like drawn by a 2-year-old and then the front of the horse is drawn
that
by
was a tequila night.
Yes.
I want to give proper credit on that game, and we'll start with that.
Okay.
All right, we'll start with the Sunday Night Football. We're ease our way. We'll talk about the NFL. We got the playoff matchups to get to. Give you some of the point spreads of that thing. We'll get to some Oregon stuff. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN coming up at 7:30. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Lamar and the Ravens fall on a kick. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers back in the postseason. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan. Westwood One on the call there. I love the subtle little noise you hear when he kicks it. Because he kicked it and you could instantly go, well, that's no good.
Yeah, right off of the foot, you knew that wasn't going
in. And I love hearing just, oh. From the color analyst, there's like,
it's one thing to miss it. It's another one to miss it. That's just gone. It's like when you hit a tee shot. It's just like within 10 yards of the tee box, it's out of bounds. You just know it. It's not like that slam. Hold on. No, it's just that is a.
Mike Golick was a color analyst for him.
That's blocked out of bounds, dude. You're gonna go ahead and read to you, or we're gonna drop out there in the fairway.
Well, look, I text this to you guys, and sometimes I probably text too much in our group chat, but you guys didn't respond, so I don't know where you're at on it. I'm not being guy in the moment. I have felt this way for a long time. I just don't like, they had like 16 seconds. They had two timeouts. When they get that likely pass, which seemed unlikely.
Yeah, hey. That was a hell of a catch.
That was a hell of a catch. Collins made a great point. Like, that's the guy who cost him the game against Cincinnati on Thanksgiving.
He did.
The Kansas City game with the toe. He's just a toe away from beating the Chiefs, right? But
I was thinking about them, too, because how did their season end last year? It was Mark Andrews dropping a two-point conversion in the end zone, and I'm like, that ended their year. That'd be remarkable if that catch put them into the playoffs and they magically go on a run.
So, like, I understand that at that point, we're all thinking, like, they're going to do this. I just don't like the dismissive, laid-back approach of, we've got two timeouts and the clock's on our side. We're just not going to care. Like, I don't care if it's 2 yards or 5 yards. Give your kicker more yardage.
I'm with you. The only thought that I had in the aftermath of it was, did the early season fumbling problems of Derrick Henry weigh on their mind at all? And if it did, then why don't you just run the ball with Lamar Jackson? Like, just go extra blocker, let him just kind of, you know, weave
just
his
do
way.
A little, tush
you had
push.
Timeouts left, so you could easily. I mean, I think they had still two maybe at that time.
I think
time.
They had two after the likely catch.
Like, dude, you got plenty of time, and there was 12 or 13 seconds left. They just took a knee and then called a timeout with 2 seconds. Let Lamar run around. Maybe he breaks one loose. Maybe you get down to the 10-yard line. My only thought, though, was that I remember them losing games. I mean, that Buffalo game was largely led by Derrick Henry fumbling. He did it. I can't remember who the opponent was a week or two later. And so we had
it was
that.
Detroit.
It was Detroit. That's right. On Sunday night or whatever. So we had that issue early in the season, so I didn't know if that was in the back of their mind of like, well, let's not risk that again. We're at 44 yards. That should be makeable for an NFL kicker. But largely, I agree with the point. Like, why would you just settle for that when you could get more yards?
I mean, look, it's makeable. He was good all year, that rookie Luke.
He was struggling 55-plus, but inside of 50, he was really good.
But here's my own thing. Like, we just watched one of the best kickers in the sport miss his first extra point.
In like 3 years or whatever the stat was.
And I'm like, oh. And then they said 44 yards, and I go, I don't like this distance, and he's a rookie. On the road, and they just...
And traditionally, that's not the easiest field
to kick
in. Field.
No, the game-winning touchdown was thrown because the corner slipped and lost his footing in a double move, and he lost his edge.
I didn't feel great about it, and then you see it come off the foot, and you go, well, he missed that one, and oh my God, the Steelers are going to win. Here's Mike Tomlin banging his chest and kissing a camera.
I mean, hey, he's in the playoffs again, baby.
But I do want to give credit. I want to give a lot of credit to Swag. Because we were texting about, I can't remember what play had just happened, but Swag just
I think
goes,
it was the Lamar, the first long touchdown
pass.
It was
the fourth.
The breaking between the two defenders.
The fourth down, they go for it, and you're like,
Zay
oh my
Flowers
God.
Flowers had 9 miles of green in front of
him.
Well,
Swag just texted.
And Lamar should have been sacked for a 15-yard loss.
The last 8 minutes of this game are going to be silly. And man, you nailed it. That was silly and stupid, given everything we had seen going into that moment.
Kyle Hamilton was out of the game. I'm assuming it was a concussion
protocol. It was a concussion protocol,
So now you had a backup safety trying to defend the middle of the field. There's no replacement for Kyle Hamilton at that point. So here we go. Rodgers and Lamar just making stuff up.
Touchdowns back and forth. A missed PAT from a kicker who didn't miss PATs in a decade. And then a 44-yarder at the end. Another breakaway touchdown that then was nullified because the Steelers came back and scored immediately after. Rodgers couldn't. What was going on there?
His quarterback.
His headset was out.
I don't know
if he's yelling at Arthur Smith. I thought he was going to chop his head off on the sideline.
He had to use Mason Rudolph's helmet.
Like
he had to switch helmets because
like,
his radio wasn't working.
I can't hear anything. And Collinsworth's like, just get there and call the plays, Rodgers. What are you complaining about?
I thought Collinsworth was right on it. Like, dude, you're Aaron Rodgers. Just call the best possible play.
Go run a slant. I'll throw it to you. Like, just figure it out.
Well,
man.
When he called that third timeout with 3:50 left, the crowd booed. They were like, you idiots. What are you doing wasting our timeouts?
Well, they had the long game that got them all the way inside the 10-yard line, and then they hurried up to the ball like they were going to go fast, and then they just stood around and then ended up using a timeout there. Like, why would you hurry up to the ball to try and get that advantage, not let them sub? And then he's like, nah, huddle up. And then I think that's when the technical problem started, and they had to blow a timeout.
That rivalry in that sport is largely put up as one of the best, if not the best, for people in it. Some years I roll my eyes at it. Pittsburgh, most of the time, if it's not Aaron Rodgers, it's Mason Rudolph.
Sure, they've been the same team for 10 years.
Even if those games are tied, I'm like, it's Mason Rudolph. I'm not putting Mason Rudolph in a best rivalry category here.
It's a hard-hitting rivalry like no other games in the NFL are hard-hitting.
That one, I mean, we were all like, that's the Sunday night game. And I'm like, given what we saw with San Francisco against that Seattle defense, I'm like, well, they made the right choice.
It was much better than Carolina-Tampa, and it was much better than San Francisco-Seattle. Because those games, that was kind of build up on Saturday, like, here we go, and then...
Don't worry, Seahawks fans, I'll give you your flowers.
Pissing rain all day in Tampa. Tampa, which was not in the forecast when I looked at the
game.
Dude,
they said on Friday, I watched some NFL Live on Friday, and on Friday NFL Live, they go, weather's supposed to be perfect for the game, 70 degrees and partly cloudy. And I'm like, cool.
That first half was a...
It was a monsoon. Rain. We literally did that in spring and line because I took the Bucks -3 and Swag said, any weird weather coming? I looked at the Tampa weather and I was like, maybe a passing shower. It should be fine. Then I turned the game on and it's in a monsoon.
I want to play this cut. This was Lamar Jackson in the post game because usually the loser, there's going to be some ramifications from it. It felt like for both teams, Rodgers might be done. We don't know. Maybe Tomlin's era is over. And the other side, it was like the Lamar stuff came out late last week. Are they going to trade him? Is he happy?
Horrible year for Baltimore, bookended by just how do you lose either of those games?
Bad injury luck, not a good year. Baltimore falls on a missed kick. Here was Lamar. He was asked. He was asked if he wants John Harbaugh back, okay? That's the question asked. No further, no deeper. Do you want your coach back next year? Listen to Lamar Jackson.
That's you asked me about next year, Jameson. Like, I'm so caught up in what just happened tonight. I can't focus on that right now. I just told you. Like, he asked me, are you stunned? I'm stunned right now. I'm still trying to process what's going on. Like, I know we lost, but, like, you know, that's all.
If my wife came up to me and recorded me and put it on social media and said, hey, Brandon, do you want to keep hosting a show with Andy? And I'm like, man, why are you talking about that right now, man? Like, you know, like, I'm just thinking about what I want to eat for lunch, you know?
We got a Wednesday show to plan for.
Would
I'm not
you feel
thinking
great
about,
about seeing that video put out?
I'd probably start freshening up my resume and see where this thing's going to go. Am I getting fired? Are you getting fired? Are we breaking up? Is the show canceled? Do I need a new co-host? Am I the one that's not hosting anymore?
Talk about not answering a question, but not answering it is an answer.
Just say yes.
He clearly doesn't like... They clearly have a relationship riff. I think if I've learned anything this year, it's that Harbaugh and Lamar... Whatever it is behind the scenes that we don't know, it's clearly there's a disconnect.
And sometimes you just need a fresh start. They've been together for a long time.
Now,
I think we forget
this.
How long that run's been. Yeah.
I think Monken's been pretty good for them offensively. I know people are pissed at him this year because of the Henry stuff and the lack of carries, all that. If they are to move on from Harbaugh, you assume the staff is also going. Kevin Stefanski just got fired.
Him just moving over in the division.
Do you still believe in Kevin Stefanski?
I do.
As I can win and take you to the promised land.
I absolutely do. Yeah.
I think he was so hampered and saddled by that dysfunctional organization and all the.
Who has his starting quarterback's been the last 3 years? Well, name every Brown starting quarterback.
Very
in the last
fair,
three seasons.
But let's be honest about this. That Deshaun decision was not just Andrew Berry's.
No, no.
He was on board with the Baker's not my guy. He couldn't do it this year, even though he's playing through a shoulder injury. Let's go get Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say, like, what percentage he led, like, how much did his voice matter in that room?
Sure.
Like, he could say, yeah, sure, I agree with the decision, but maybe he's just saying that because he wants to stay in good, you know, company with the GM and all that. Them keeping the GM is a whole nother conversation. But I just look at how bad their quarterback play is, and it's really hard. It's very similar to a quarterback who's playing with a bad team. Like, you can't get a real read on it. When your defense sucks and your offensive line is terrible or you have nobody to throw the ball to, how should I feel about him? I don't know. You're not giving him a chance to actually compete and win. And with the quarterbacks that they've trotted out there the last 3 years, no coach in the NFL could have won with those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and Joe Flacco were starting quarterbacks this year. Name me a coach in the NFL that's going to win with that. It doesn't exist. So I don't know about his fit with Lamar and that style of offense. I'm sure he's creative enough to work around it. But yeah, I definitely roll the dice on Stefanski again.
I mean, if you're Stefanski, you look around the landscape. I know McDermott, everything could be hinging on what he does in the wild card weekend.
Yeah, I'd take the Buffalo job probably before that.
Well, Buffalo seems slightly better, yeah. But like when you power rank the jobs, there could be two of the top four guys at the position, if that's still how everybody feels, could be looking for coaches.
They very well could.
How often does that open up?
Yeah, what if the Packers get blown out in Chicago? Do they make a change? Does LaFleur out and you want to go coach for Jordan Love? And
I mean, if they lose to the Bears and they finish 9-8-1,
that's a horrible year for
them. It's already a terrible year for
them. And I know Parsons got hurt, and that's a big part of it here in the back end of the season, but still, it doesn't change the fact
they tied the Cowboys.
They tied the Cowboys. When healthy.
The Cowboys.
When healthy, they tied the Cowboys. They lost at home to the Panthers, who, I should be
respectful. That's a division winner.
That's a division champion,
yeah,
Carolina
clean
Panthers.
That up a little
My apologies.
Jeez.
I'm going to make some plans for Saturday at 1:30. I'm not watching that game.
Alice's name.
By the way, Cowboys hit their under.
They did.
Of course they did.
Nailed that one.
That they did.
All right, we got a lot more NFL to get to. We'll get some college as well. Adam Rittenberg at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague back with more. So we'll get to the Seahawks thumping the Niners, winning the division, getting the one seed. We'll talk about the Peach Bowl, do some peekaboo on Oregon, Indiana.
Back where it all started, game one for Dan Lanning in Atlanta. Did not go well. Hopefully the second time around goes a little bit better.
We'll talk with Adam Rittenberg about the Peach Bowl, his thoughts on it on a Monday going into the Friday contest. Also talk about Mario and Ole Miss, which will be on Thursday. But staying in the National Football League, something that I was thinking about last night and getting ready for today's show was, did the Carolina Panthers watch the Saints game and celebrate? Or how
I think
you
did. I think you have to.
You have to celebrate after losing the biggest of your regular season games and just falling into a divisional crown?
I mean, it's funny that the only reason that they went in was because of the three-way tie scenario that was at play that I didn't even realize until I was watching the Monday night game between the Rams and the Falcons, and then they start pointing it out, and you're like, wait, what?
Well, I felt like I dropped the ball on Friday's show because when I looked at Swag gave us the NFL playoff scenarios, I just completely overlooked the Atlanta has to beat the Saints if the Bucks win, or the Saints have to beat the Falcons if the Bucks win for the Bucks to win. I just didn't look at the scenario.
Right.
And so I went into that game Friday morning with the thought of that's for the division. What's funny about what I'm saying here is Tampa also thought that even after the game, they thought they had won.
Yeah.
And then somebody had to explain to them they needed the Falcons to beat or the Saints to beat the Falcons.
You need Tyler Shuck to come through. And ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Shuck did not come through.
So I felt like an idiot on Friday's show not telling everybody out there who probably already knew anyway of like, hey, in this scenario, Tampa wins, they need the Saints to win.
I'm just glad after dealing with this for months in college football of tiebreaker scenarios like the ACC, how dumb could you be? Now we have to go through this in the NFL where you have three teams with the same record. Tampa won. We all thought that they won the division, but they didn't actually win the division because then Atlanta won, and now it's a three-way tie, and that goes to Carolina. But to answer your original question, I think you do. Like, it doesn't mean it's not as a raucous of a celebration as of, like, you needed to win, and then you needed another team to lose, and you took care of business, and now you're rooting for them to go take care of business. But if it punches your ticket to the playoff, I think you're celebrating that because that's something that Carolina has not done very often in their history, winning a division title.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think tiebreak scenarios, I know they don't happen a whole lot.
They don't happen very often.
But when they do,
they suck.
I find them to be really stupid. Like, we have that division, and then I'll say this as a completely biased person. The fact that the Niners are the 6 and not the 5, that tiebreaker scenario doesn't make sense to me.
What's the scenario?
Well, their division records are the same with the Rams.
Yes, they are.
They're both 4-2.
They split the games with
LA. They split with the games with each other.
Yep.
I would think, in my mind, you would go to conference record because you're in the NFC.
That'd be my guess.
Niners are 9-3. Rams are 7-5.
So that's clearly not it.
It's a what is this, Swag? It's a common opponent outside. Like, it's just the dumbest thing is the third scenario.
You would think conference record would make more sense than that because you're playing largely NFC teams.
Who made these tiebreakers? We need to talk to them.
All of it's dumb, and it hurts even more specifically when it impacts your team. And you're like, wait a minute, what? Like, if it's not impacting your team, you don't really care that much. But when it's your team impacted, it's the dumbest thing
possible. To the NFL's credit, their tiebreaker rules have pretty much been in existence for decades. It's not like they reinvented.
Rewrite
all the
them.
Time.
Rewrite them.
You don't have them right.
New rules. New damn rules. It.
There
come
haven't
on, NFL.
Been too many three-team tie. Usually, it's just two teams, and you go to head-to-head. And if they split, then you go to
division
and conference record. So the three.
But that's not the order they go in, because when they go to split regular season, the next is division.
And those are tied.
You would think conference is next. It's not.
It's not. Should it be, though?
It's like a common opponent thing outside of the division. It's some weird, stupid one that I'm blanking on because the conference record is in San Francisco's favor, not the Rams. And one's the 5 getting to play that Panther team. My team has to go Philadelphia.
One of them's a 10-point favorite, and it ain't the 49ers in Philadelphia this weekend. That's for damn sure.
They're going to truck that team. I know they lost to them. They're going to beat the Panthers.
Look, part of me wants to almost – Carolina shouldn't be in the playoffs. I will die on the hill that sub-500 teams should not be allowed in. That should be the base level that you have to accomplish. We argue this in college. Should the G6 teams have to be ranked? And like, we yell about this for months on end. Why are they in my? Why is Carolina in my playoff? Why? Why do I have to? That's the first game of wild card weekend, 1:30 on Saturday. Carolina versus LA. I don't want
to
watch the game.
You're going
I don't
to.
Care about the game.
Yeah, you'll,
I'm going to boycott the first quarter. I'm going to do something Saturday.
No,
I'm going to check the score at halftime, come back in, and see that the Rams are up by 17 and say, let's watch something else until the real football starts.
You reverse that. If
not
you
my
do
playoffs.
It. You either watch the first half and see if you need to hang around. You don't check back
no,
in.
No, they got to prove it to me that they deserve my eyeballs. They're not getting my eyeballs out of the get-go.
You're going to watch that game.
They need my... They
you
need,
stop it. We know who you
me,
are.
Convince me you need my eyeballs, Carolina.
Your ass is going to be on that couch. Teddy's going to be hitting his little T-ball set, and you're going to be watching Carolina Rams going, what am I doing with my
and
life?
And then the second half's going to roll around, and I'm going to say, see, I told you so. They're up by 24. Why is this a playoff
Here's
game?
What's
this is
happen.
So stupid. Give me Detroit. I know Detroit's not that good, but I'd rather watch them play the Rams.
Me too.
This is what'll happen. They'll schedule their chores, because Sunday's a triple header. Sunday, you're on your couch.
Got to get stuff done. Saturdays might get
so
stuff
Saturday
done.
Saturday morning will be chore time.
Yeah.
He'll record it.
Coming off the high of the Oregon-Indiana game the night before, where I'm going to be just...
The high?
I mean, well, the feeling of a big game. Oh, shut up.
Who's
over
got
there.
Gummies
Would
now?
You shut your mouth over there.
The high, huh?
Make sure you got two.
Just think about...
That,
think about
that post-game show.
Think about... I won't be on the post-game show. Think about the mood that I will be in on Friday evening and the person I will be in my household on Friday evening. And then fast forward to Saturday when I'm like, hey, babe, guess what? There's more football on all weekend. Yeah. So we get to, like, that's the one. If there's one game that
They're
I won't
doing
watch
chores,
a lot of,
he'll record
that's the
it.
Game.
And then he'll get back. If they run long or whatever, he'll start fast forwarding.
Well, nightcap is Packers and Bears, and I can't wait for that game. That's going to be
awesome.
5
o'clock.
If the Ducks lose, I might take a break from football for the first part of the next day.
I think you're going to hate watch the Panthers so you can say, I knew it! Knew it! Just make me even angrier.
Or. You watch the first half, it goes exactly how we all kind of feel like it's going to go. And I know,
Sprague, what about Marshawn Lynch in the same game?
This is so stupid because it happened one time. What happened to Seattle the next weekend? Well, they had one play and he, hold my knee! And that we have
great
to,
play.
Now we all have to pretend that every below 500 team should be in the playoffs. It's the dumbest thing that they allow in the NFL.
My point is, you're going to watch the first half of Rams-Panthers. You will not see it at halftime. You'll watch the first half because you want to be proven right that the Panthers shouldn't belong.
I'm actually going to go gamble the game right now. I think the line's below 10.
And if the Rams are up big at halftime, you're going to turn to Teddy. Are you going to say, hey, Teddy,
hey,
let's
Teddy.
Turn on Miss Rachel in.
Take your hands and put it down your pants, huh?
Sounds good to me. We'll do that until Packers and Bears start.
Yep.
Sounds like a better Saturday afternoon to me.
That's exactly how that's going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to go gamble the game right now. The line has been at 10 since it's open. It's now down to 9.5, and I'm gonna jump on that.
I just like...
That game sucks. I don't want to watch the Panthers in the playoffs. Bryce Young's terrible. The team's not very good. I have no desire. That's not a playoff team. One of these is not like the other.
Well, they are.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Every other team has a legitimate pathway and a fun, entertaining storyline around them other than Carolina.
Rico Daddle?
He's not playing the Cowboys. Revenge game's over. Okay? Okay. Nobody cares.
T-Mac?
T-Mac is awesome.
J.C. Horn?
And that was a push. Was that not off? I mean, I thought he pretty blatantly...
I thought it was, but...
...shoved the guy out of the way 10 yards into the route.
I don't know either.
Am I watching different
the
football
The Lions
here?
Commit a pass interference, and I'm like, is that a pass
interference? Yeah, going on there?
And him? They are a playoff team. They've won their division.
Yeah, people disagree.
But I will say, yesterday I was thinking, like, the way you win... To get in the playoffs after having just lost the game you quote unquote needed
they got
to
into
win.
The playoffs by losing and another team winning.
That is the definition of backdooring.
I'm not
your way in.
Like they did. What we emphatically, we're here. We
I
won
disagree
the game.
With you. I honestly, who I am as a person, I can't fathom celebrating that. I'd just be like, all right, Rams,
let's go get our ass kicked.
I'm not like light up the cigars.
You give me Devontae Adams back, they're going to win that game by 28.
Oh, do we know where he's at right now?
Hamstring. They said a couple weeks. I don't know. They're not going to say anything probably for a couple
you
of days.
You don't need him for this game. Imagine.
No, they don't.
I know that, again, they lost to them not too long ago.
You know what they tell me? It's hard to beat a team twice in one year.
Well, we'll find out Friday, won't
we? Yeah, we will.
God, I'm scared. It's got to be fun shows this week.
Don't rip my heart out, Dan.
Kind of scared for you, to be honest with you.
I need this, Dan.
Well, it might not be Dan's fault,
Dan,
you know?
Dan.
That other guy's a psycho.
Dan, help me out.
We will talk with Adam Rettenberg about Oregon, Indiana. We got the Seahawks we need to talk about. They have deserved and earned the number one seed. They get a bye. They don't play this weekend. They get to put their feet up and watch everything sort itself out. So we'll talk about that. Dirt and Sprague at 6:43. Back with more on The Fan. The Seahawks earned the number one seed in the NFC. They won the NFC West, a great division race this year between the Rams, the Niners, and those Seahawks. 14, 12, and 12. And there's the Cardinals with three.
Same old Cardinals. The Cardinals will always be the Cardinals until they prove us they're not the Cardinals anymore.
Every division needs a Cardinal, though, no matter how good or tough the divisions are. You need a Cardinal in there.
Yeah, you do.
Can you do me a favor?
What do you got?
Could you lean in here for a second?
I have a secret I want to tell you.
Sure, what do you got?
Okay. We'll talk about the Seahawks at 7, okay?
Okay.
The SEC is 2 and 7 in their bowl games. It just means more.
You slipping in a college football nugget here for me? You know, you doing that? You slaying that in?
You know,
I didn't see that coming right
when
here.
The Pac-12 was 2-8 or 1-7, people wouldn't shut up about how bad the conference is. But no, 2-7, being favored in 7 of those 9 games and losing outright.
Yeah.
You know, losing by 35 in a Rose Bowl playoff game. Nothing to see here. No big deal.
No.
It's a badass conference. They're physical. They're scary. They're tough.
Look at the recruiting rankings. Can I also point out that in the aftermath of the bowl games, that two teams who we talked about throughout the course of the year from that conference, who were largely ranked in the top 25 from start to finish, preseason all the way to the end of the year, and that would be Tennessee and Missouri. And after their bowl games, do you care to guess how many wins over FBS teams with a winning record Tennessee and Missouri had combined?
Well,
as two top 25 SEC teams that are used, mind you, as resume boosters of, hey, did you see they beat Tennessee?
I think
they beat Missouri.
You asking me that makes me want to guess a number, and I'm not going to guess any. I'm going to say zero, Bob.
That number is zero. Yeah. Tennessee and Missouri beat zero teams.
That's
combined
jarring.
FBS teams with a winning record.
That's insane.
Anybody that's seven wins, anybody with 8? No, none of that. But they were in the top 25 all year. Look, I have my fun with the Washington Huskies. You know that. Congrats on your L.A. Bowl win. Are you going to hang the banner in the stadium like you're half of a national championship?
I think they're celebrating that they kept their coach more than they are the L.A. Bowl win.
Are they celebrating? They're probably celebrating that.
Yeah,
DeMont Williams resigned. You know, you got your quarterback resigned.
Boston's gone. That's going to be tough.
They couldn't snip the top 25. But Missouri and Tennessee just... Who did, what happened when Washington played Illinois? Do you remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Washington killed him. And then Illinois and Tennessee play in the bowl game.
Yeah.
And, well, guys are opt out. Like, only players on SEC teams opt out of bowl games.
That's the only time you hear about it. Yeah.
Nobody on Illinois, not their leading sacker, not their two best offensive linemen, not one of their best wide receivers. No, nobody sat out on Illinois' team.
I remember when Florida State got left out of the playoff because of the Travis injury and, like, 70% of their team opted out of the Georgia Bowl game.
They lost by 60.
And they lost by 60, and people were like, oh, really? Really? It's just because they opted out, huh? It's like, what I'll say, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is just because I don't actually keep track of conference records in bowl games because largely most of these are irrelevant and I don't really care. But
their streak of not winning a national title is also hanging on thin ice because Ole Miss is their only hopeful left.
I mean, if Miami...
And maybe they do it, but...
Yeah, but right now I think more people in America would vote the national champion winner is going to be the winner of Indiana-Oregon than they would Ole Miss-Miami, and then maybe Miami even ahead of Ole Miss for people. But yeah,
people have a big lean on Miami, it feels like, in that game.
I just think it highlights, one, the absurdity within the college football media, and it shows you, I don't want to use the term, like, bias, but it certainly shows you where all of it leans.
Of course it does.
Where all their hubdad and what they talk about and what the narratives are. And like, you're so right on Tennessee, Missouri, because those were used as...
Alabama won on the road at Missouri and survived.
Georgia beat Tennessee in a last-minute weird ending to a game. And it's like, oh, and then you find out they beat zero FBS teams with a winning record.
Right. It's not. I'm not saying
and
it's a bad
2-7,
loss.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and the Big Ten might be on the verge of winning 3 straight national championships. I don't know, man. Like, they have a worse record than all the other conferences.
Yes, they do.
But we talk about them, and look, I'm just as guilty as you or Swag or anybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
When an SEC team is on the docket of a game I'm watching, I still am like, I don't want to pick against that conference because of how many years of dominance they've had.
There's a little more juice.
But the reality is, man, they're good. Maybe Ole Miss does it. They're not, like, light years ahead of all these conferences the way that they're talked about.
And I'm not trying to say winning at Tennessee or winning at Missouri is an easy thing. Those are talented football teams. I'm just simply pointing out the way that we prop up wins like that and then don't do that for other conferences is where the problem lies.
Zero wins over winning record FBS teams actually makes me question what you just said are good football teams.
Totally fair. I will be fair to both of them and say they both have very difficult schedules, and if you put them in the Big 12, right, does Tennessee have wins over FBS teams with a winning record? I'd imagine that they would have beaten a Kansas State or an Iowa State, or right, that you could win games like that.
I'm just trying to, like, I don't like the way that those are propped up and we don't do it for other conferences. To me, winning on the road at Tennessee or Missouri is the same as winning on the road at Washington. Like, those are very similar wins, but one's viewed a certain way by the national media than the other. I think the reality of it is there is good competitive depth in the SEC. There's not as many bottom feeders. There's good programs who have NFL draft caliber players on their roster. Like, a South Carolina has two of the better players in the sport on their roster, but they were a disaster this year. So their depth is better than a conference like the Big Ten, because those teams are just better than insert the bottom half of the Big Ten, which is largely terrible. But the Big Ten potentially winning three straight national championships would be a hell of a feather in the cap. And Indiana and Oregon, or whoever wins that game Friday, will have a chance to do it.
I mean, we know the bottom of these conferences are not good in any of them. And so it's just more about what the top does. And right now, the top of the Big Ten.
Their top teams in the Big Ten are better than the top teams in the SEC.
They're better than the SEC. And, you know, some of us, it's going to take longer. But for the most part, here you are. 2-7 in your bowl games, and only one team left in the SEC. A loaded second hour. The Seattle Seahawks clinched the division and the one seed in the NFC. We'll kick off hour number two talking about Seattle's ass-whooping over the 49ers. Dirt and Sprague, second hour, 105.1 The Fan.